Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, really, I'm fine. Do you feel guilty acknowledging your needs, much less trying to meet them? We're going to explore the difference between self-care and selfish. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled... Really, I'm fine. It's fine. You have to kind of get the pitch right. Do you feel guilty acknowledging your needs, much less trying to meet them? We're going to explore the difference between self-care and selfish and help you find healthy, graceful ways to get your needs met today on More to Life. The number, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We've actually been having this conversation all week on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. And, you know, we've been talking with the parents on the Catholic Home app about how challenging it is, especially for moms, but dads too, to get our needs met even as we're being generous to our kids. But, you know, this is a universal problem, and I think an especially complicated one for sincere Christians, because we know we want to be generous to others, we want to serve others, we even enjoy being able to make a difference in other people's lives. But sometimes we start to notice that our own tanks are running a little low. So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, do you have a hard time telling people what you need or advocating for your needs? Maybe you're not sure that it's even okay to have needs in general or certain needs in particular. Maybe you have a hard time identifying what you need in the first place, or perhaps you've tried to communicate your needs to someone you care about, your spouse, your kids, friends, family member, you name it, and they've told you that you are selfish, or they've just ignored you, or flat out refused to help. What's the relationship that a Christian should have with our needs, and how do we get them met? 877-573-7825.
Well, I think it's really important. Excuse me, got a bit of a frog in my throat this morning. It's very important to look at the incarnate life of Jesus. Because Jesus had to eat. He had to rest. He needed time to get away from everybody and their demands, to be with his Father, to basically get away from the noise as well. He had physical needs because he had a body. And he had a soul that needed communion with God. And yet, there are a lot of heresies over the thousands of years. There are different denominations that have kind of muddied the waters of Christendom and said, no, you're only a good Christian if you deny everything about yourself, everything about your body. You're completely selfless. You work all the time. You never have any joy or peace. Just go for it.
Now, the problem, and I mean, everything you're saying, I absolutely agree with you, but you know, the problem is we do, as Christians, talk about the need to deny ourselves, right? And that complicates the waters further, right? Because, and we'll talk about how that plays into this, because that is, you know, we're not denying that. It is true that we as Christians need to deny ourselves. What that doesn't mean is pretend we don't have needs.
Exactly.
We'll talk about how those two things go together over the course of the hour, but I just wanted to kind of throw that in there because it's confusing.
Yeah, I was definitely going to, you know, bring that in and ask you to weigh in on this because that's exactly the thing. There's this war in our sociology that on the one hand says, just give everything to everybody all the time. Don't have any needs of your own. Whether that comes from a religious sector, whether that comes from parents who were toxic, whether that comes from the school you went to, whatever that is. And we're grown adults, and that voice can stay in the back of our heads. And it becomes all the kids' needs get put first. The spouse's needs get put first. The boss's needs get put first. The church's needs get put first. And then suddenly we're depleted, and we don't even know it. We become resentful. We become nasty to be around and become bad witnesses to the glory of God and his love for people because we're so snappish and we're so depleted that we can't even let the Holy Spirit flow through us in a healthy way. My point is to really serve God well and to know the glory of God in our own hearts, minds, and lives. And let that shine out from us, we need to get our needs, our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs met in a way that feeds us so then we can authentically feed those that God has given us to feed, metaphorically and actually physically as an adult person. And if you don't even know you have those needs, or don't know you're allowed to, or it makes you feel guilty, or you think, yeah, that's nice, Pop Checks, but I have all of this going on, you have no idea what I'm going through, and there's no possible way I can do it, or certain people won't let me. We need to be there for each other today. We're here to help you figure out how to get those needs met, how to identify them in the first place, and how to get them met even if some people aren't giving you permission or helping you to get them met. If any of this is causing that little tinge of like, is that me? In your mind or heart today, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We're talking about the challenge of getting our needs met, especially when we're trying to be generous and take care of others. Our show titled, Really? I'm Fine. And if you feel guilty acknowledging your needs, much less trying to meet them, we want to help explore that difference between selfish and self-care. Call up and share. Do you have a hard time telling people what you need or advocating for your needs? Maybe you're not sure if it's even okay to have certain needs or needs at all. Maybe you have a hard time identifying what you need, or you've told people what you need and then they've either ignored you, told you that you're selfish, or just flat out refused to help. We were talking about the relationship that a Christian should have with our needs and how we can should expect other people to respond to those needs. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, and let's look at another cause of this. Do you have somebody in your life who knows their needs so much that they are demanding things from you all of the time? And you are just being objectified. You are just the person who is supposed to show up whenever, wherever they need you to show up in their lives. They call you at inconvenient times. They ask you to run all their errands. They expect you to listen to them for 3 hours a day while you're trying to attend to your own life. Their needs come first because they're so in touch with their needs that they basically push them on you all the time. And you're thinking, I don't have time for my own needs because I got to deal with this person. And how do I do that and still be godly, still be a good witness, still be the person I want to be? We can help you figure out that very complicated situation. 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. Now, for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections on how creation, salvation history, and the Gospels can shine a light on God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
We have a tendency to beat up on ourselves for having needs, as we were saying. You know, we tell ourselves that good or holy people don't have needs, or at least they don't acknowledge them, certainly not publicly. We think it's selfish to advocate for ourselves. But the theology of the body reminds us that human beings are embodied beings, just as I was talking about Christ being embodied as well, and that God speaks to us through our needs. From the perspective of the theology of the body, biology is theology. Biologists tell us that a need is not simply what's required for survival, but rather what's required for homeostasis. That's the ultimate and optimal functioning of our well-being, where all of us, our systems are working in harmony with each other and our environment. That's what homeostasis is. God created us to function optimally. As St. Irenaeus put it, the glory of God is man fully alive. God built our needs into us not so we could simply survive, but actually thrive. Plus, we develop healthy communion with others by listening to each other's needs and responding fully to each other's needs. That way, we help each other to flourish. The closeness that results from this dynamic is intimacy. That sense that because I'm well cared for by you, it is safe for me to reveal myself to you.
Now, it's true that we can't always get what we need exactly how and when we want it. And yes, you know, self-discipline is a virtue, but it's important to remember that godly self-discipline doesn't require us to deny our needs. It just requires us to first listen to our needs and then seek ways to express and meet those needs in ways that are pleasing to God. You know, by learning to listen to our needs, but then seek God's counsel for how to address them, and then advocate for those needs to be taken seriously, we discover healthier, godlier approaches to our life and relationships. United with grace, we can come to understand that the physical, emotional, spiritual, and relational needs that we have are actually the voice of the Holy Spirit, gently reminding us what we need to live a healthy, integrated, abundant life, and to work toward making our relationships what God wants them to be. You know, ultimately, being a Christian isn't any more about, you know, being nice than it is about being antagonistic. It's about learning how to be effective by bringing our needs and concerns to the Lord and then following his lead as he teaches us to address those needs and concerns in a way that glorifies him, works for the good of those around us, and helps us become everything we were created to be as well. Okay, sounds good in theory, but how do we apply that in our relationships, especially when the person that we're telling our needs to is ignoring us, telling us that we're selfish, pushing back in some way, just flat out refusing to help? What do we do then? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you gave us our needs by creating us as embodied beings, and sometimes we forget that we need to take care of those needs, and always we struggle to know how to meet those needs in ways that are pleasing to you, that help us be our best selves, that help others to be their best selves as well. And so, Lord, we bring to you all of those needs, both met and unmet, and we ask you to help us to respond to those needs in ways that are graceful, that will be pleasing to you, that allow us to attend to those that we care about as well. Help us to have a healthy, godly relationship with our needs so that we can flourish and bear witness to your glory, and also have healthy relationships rooted in an intimacy that is based on responding generously and promptly and consistently and cheerfully to each other's needs so that we can build the communion that we are created to live in. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, Really, I'm Fine. As we talk about the challenge of identifying our needs, advocating for ourselves, or dealing with the pushback once we've told the people we care about what our needs actually are. If you are struggling to know whether it's okay to have needs in general, certain needs in particular, or how to respond to the people who are ignoring your needs, telling you you're selfish for having them, or flat out refusing to help you meet them. We are here to help you today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Pam, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina.
Hi there, Pam. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I'm saying that I feel like you're talking about me because you know how when you confess your sins, you say what you did wrong and what you didn't do. And so often I've said, I don't do enough. You know, I don't volunteer enough, although I am involved with a lot of volunteer activities. I'm a retired nurse. I volunteer at the Mercy Clinic a couple days a week. But I don't do everything.
Let me just interrupt you for just a second. I just want to ask you, how would you know if you were doing enough?
I don't know, but I feel like sometimes I'm doing too much because, like, then I crash and I just, like, sleep all day. But when I confessed to the priest that because I complained about being too tired to do everything I feel like I should do, he implied that I was not thankful and grateful enough and gave me a thankful prayer to do from my penance, and he said, do it several times, implying that I was tired because I was not thankful enough.
Okay, did he say that he thought you weren't thankful enough, or did he just give you the prayer as your penance? Those are two different things.
He gave me the prayer, and he said, especially for you, you should pray this many times. And that told me, you know, since it was a thankful prayer, it made me feel like he thought I wasn't thankful enough, and that's why I was so tired.
All right, we have some things to say about that, but let me circle back to how would you know if you were doing enough? Because you kind of just laughed and then blew off the question. But that's a really important question to know. Like, how would you know?
I don't know, but I feel like I'm doing enough because I'm always so tired.
But you're torn. Like, but there's a part of you that's driving yourself to that place where you're collapsing in the first place. And why are you doing that is what I'm asking.
When I don't feel like I'm a good witness because I often appear tired and closed mouthed to people.
Okay. Well, look. Like I get that, but you're still struggling with that question. How would you know if it was enough? And so let's go back. Neither of us can presume to know what the priest was saying, but I can tell you what I would mean if I were giving that penance, okay, or I was giving that advice even on the show. You know, when a person is driven as you are to do and do and do and do and do and kind of, you know, haunted by this sense that I'm not doing enough, a lot of times that's rooted in what we call working for love rather than working from love, right? In other words, I feel like I have to do all these things to get God to love me. And if I, you know, and because I don't feel loved or lovable, clearly that means I haven't done enough yet. And if I just do more, then I'll finally feel like I did enough to get God to love me. And one of the things that St. Ignatius suggested in response to that feeling, because he struggled with that too, was that we need to root ourselves in God's love, and that we need to root ourselves in all the ways that God is providing for us and taking care of us. And we do that by this thankfulness that the priest was talking to you about. You know, when we do that thankful prayer, when we say, Lord, thank you for loving me, and thank you for being present to me, and thank you for taking care of me in these ways.
And also really thanking God for everything around us. You know, thank you, God, that bird was singing in my window this morning, and I know that spring is coming. Thank you, Lord, that I had this food to eat. It means you provided for me. When we begin to do that, we lift ourselves out of our own desolations, where all we're hearing is we're not enough, we're not enough, we're not enough. And we begin to see how much God loves us, and therefore any service we give comes out of that imitation of him, of he's given me so much, let me share my joy with other people by being in touch with them and communion with them.
And the fact that you would interpret that penance as a sign that you're not enough is just another example of what I'm talking about here. You are doing enough because your body is telling you you're doing enough, and you need to listen to that. You need to learn to hear how the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what, Pam, it's okay to take a break. Yes, I want you to be generous, and yes, I want you to volunteer, but it's okay to rest. It's okay to schedule that.
And rest in me.
Yeah. I would also, Pam, like you to look at something called an anxious attachment wound. You can learn more about that by picking up Tim Clinton's book, Attachments, because that comes from being raised in a household where affection was a little stingy, affirmation was hard to come by, and we felt like we had to do extra things to kind of get people to give us the affirmation or the love that we deserved, and so we grow up to be in this place where I feel like I have to work for love all the time. And it sounds to me like that's kind of where you're at. That you take responsibility for things that you don't even necessarily need to take responsibility for in an attempt to get people to affirm you. And I'm not saying that's your prime motivation. I'm just saying that that's underneath it all. And it stops you from listening to that voice that says, you need a break. So I'd like you to attend to that and realize that you are doing enough. And you know how you know when it's enough because your body is telling you that it's enough. And you base it on listening more clearly to what your body is saying. That's all the time we've got for the call, Pam, but if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about meeting your needs. How do you know what needs are okay to pursue, what to do when people push back and tell you that you're selfish or ignore your needs? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
This is Father John Bonavita Cola. There are many Catholic Christians who turn on the radio and they want to hear something spiritual, something about faith. So it's critical that in every area we can have Catholic radio and that we as Catholics will continue to support this great work and for bringing the message of the gospel, the message of our beautiful Catholic faith to everyone.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio now more than ever.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters, April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're talking about getting our needs met and how we can have a graceful relationship with our needs. Joining us right now, Damon Owens. He is the founder and director of joyfuleverafter.org. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
So what can the theology of the body teach us about having a healthy, godly relationship with our needs?
Yeah, you know, one of the, I think, foundational truths of the theology of the body is this realization that we're deeply interdependent. And John Paul meditates on this reality of literally being stamped into our bodies that to be is to be for. And that we don't just have relationships. It's the deepest truth of who we are is the relation and the interdependence is where we discover the truth about even who we are. And it gets shocking the more we start to apply it to real elements of our life. But at its core, it says that, you know, when we read with the lens and the right eyes, why God created us bodily, you guys mentioned that earlier, why he created us sexual, with the sexual difference, that our bodies actually speak very clearly that we only make sense in light of the other. And we drive that all the way from that anthropology to the day-to-day situations to realize that our culture has it backwards, that this radical independence is not human. And the needs that we express or the needs that we have are either universal based on that humanity of love, of affection, of belonging, or they're very particular based on our temperament, personality, or situation. But it's all rooted in that same fundamental, inalienable truth about what it means to be human.
So what I'm hearing you say, as I'm going to read between the lines, is that you know this sort of you shouldn't have needs, or you should just meet your own needs and keep your mouth shut, is really a very worldly view of needs, and that God is actually calling us to share those needs with each other so that we can build communion by responding positively to each other through those mutual self-giving relationships that St. John Paul talked about.
Exactly. And not only cultural, they're modern. This is not the story throughout human history. So taking that right horizon view of what our culture embeds in us about a radical independence, an autonomy, a self-preservation, bootstrapping, these are fundamentally not human. And these needs that we identify in ourselves are actually the gifts that we offer to others. This is how I receive love. This is how I want to love you. And they become the raw material for us to really be human.
Timo, thank you so much for being with us today, and appreciate your insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your ministry, they can go to joyfuleverafter.org. Really important theology of the body-based marriage ministry. Thanks to you and to Melanie for all the work that you do supporting couples, and thanks for being here.
I appreciate
today.
You guys. Thank you.
877-573-7825. We are talking about getting our needs met today on More to Life. Are Christians even allowed to do that? Well, yes. And so let's talk about how to make that happen, especially if you struggle to even know what your needs are or to communicate those needs effectively, or to know what to do when you tell the people you care about what your needs are and they ignore you or tell you that you're selfish or just flat out refuse to help. What do you do then? 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
The prayer of the hour of Jesus is an extraordinary prayer, states the Catholic Catechism. It is the longest prayer recorded in the Gospels that Jesus offers to his Father. He prays it as he is facing the hour of his passion. The Catechism claims the prayer embraces the whole economy of creation and salvation, as well as Jesus' death and resurrection. It always remains his own prayer, just as his Passover, once for all, remains always present in the liturgy of his church. In this paschal and sacrificial prayer, also known as Jesus' priestly prayer, everything is concisely reviewed and summarized in Christ. God and the world, the Word and the flesh, eternal life and time, the love that hands itself over, and the sin that betrays it. Jesus fulfilled the work of the Father completely. His prayer, like his sacrifice, extends until the end of time. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God.
God gives his earthly children earthly parents because he wants them to be able to feel his love through your body and see his face in your eyes. Christian moms and dads are meant to be the face of God to our kids. That's a beautiful thought, but it can be a little intimidating. Don't worry. God wants to parent with you, and he gives us his grace to raise his kids well. That said, this mindset requires us to be open to parenting differently than how we were raised or what comes naturally to us. No matter how good your parents were, they weren't as perfect as our Heavenly Father is. And no matter how well we turned out, we aren't saints. Yet, every day, ask God to help you be the parent he wants you to be. Ask him to give you the grace to love generously, correct gently, and let your kids know that you delight in the gift they are to you. Pray that God will help you be the parent he's calling you to be and enable you to bring out the best in your kids. To learn more, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we are talking about meeting our needs on our show titled, Really, I'm Fine. As we talk about, you know, how guilty we often feel acknowledging that we have needs, much less trying to communicate them. Call up and share at 877-573-7825. Do you have a hard time telling people what you need or advocating for those needs? Maybe you've told your spouse, your family, a friend, your kids what you need, and they either ignore you, tell you that you're selfish, or push back, or just flat out refuse to do anything about it. What do you do then? How much of a stink are you allowed to make about that? 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, Greg, you use that "I'm fine" voice, but there's also the "I'm fine" voice, which says, I dare you to figure out what's wrong. I dare you to figure out all my needs and meet them, because if not, you're not good enough and I'm not happy with you. And that can either be what we do to someone, or perhaps what someone is doing to us. So you're trying to be in relationship with them. Honey, what's wrong? What's going on in your day? I'm fine. And you get nothing but that wall. How do you help that person break through that so you can meet their needs and get yours met as well? Because the theology of the body teaches us that we're supposed to be mutually self-donative. And we can't be unless we can figure out what the needs are.
877-573-7825. You know, I mentioned earlier, we've been having this conversation all week on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. You know, parents in general, moms in particular, really struggle with this idea of getting their needs met, especially in family life. And we've been having a really great conversation on the Catholic Home app. I really invite all of our listeners to check it out. Premium members get to participate in the Home Builders channel there, where my entire team of pastoral counselors engage with our subscribers every day about those parenting questions and challenges about living out our faith and our family life. Check it out. It's a really good conversation on Catholic HOM, Households on Mission, Catholic HOM app. But we are taking your calls right now about meeting your needs. You don't have to wait. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning. Well, your show was providential. I was coming from morning mass, where I was crying out to the Lord over this issue that I have been crying out to the Lord over for the entirety of my 5-plus-year marriage. My husband and I have a beautiful relationship where the Lord brought us together. We share great love for faith and family and service, and he's generous and demonstrative of love in so many ways, except in marital intimacy. And the first talk about difficult to communicate, I was shocked just a few weeks into our marriage, and I had a dear best girlfriend who was had her master's in psych and was a social worker, and And she gave me some insights, but I had to, she finally said, I have to say something. So I did it in a letter because I couldn't say it. I was so embarrassed. But I asked what happened, you know, the passionate kisses, dating and engaged, and then they stopped on marriage and no more dancing in the living room and not even touch and intimacy, for me anyway. And so I just don't feel there's this intimate connection.
So you wrote him a letter, and how did he respond to that at all, or?
Yes. He said he likes to change things up to increase my pleasure, but I don't understand how not touching increases anyone's pleasure. I'm talking about
But you're saying you're not having conversations about this. You just wrote to him and
I have brought up conversations, and I even sought one of the priests that concelebrated our marriage. I asked him, he wouldn't go to counseling, and because he had a bad experience in the past with an ex who was rather abusive. And I asked if he would at least go speak with this trusted pastor, and he said yes. So we went in. The whole purpose for going was this issue that I had communicated multiple times. Why don't you touch me? I feel unloved, unbeautiful, undesired. Obviously, physically, needs are totally ignored. And so we went in, sat down. I had told Monsignor the reason we were there, and the first words out of his mouth were, I don't know what kind of touch she's talking about.
So you're describing a trauma reaction, and you mentioned that he was married before, and that his wife was abusive to him.
I mean, cheated on him, and then tried. You know, there was battles over the kids, and then you know they defame you in court. And
has he ever shared any history of abuse as a child?
Oh no, fantastic, wonderful, godly parents. I actually had an abusive relationship in the past, too.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm mentioning that is because what you're describing, I mean, the kind of reaction that you're describing, it's a panic reaction, right? And there's something about the idea of affection that terrifies him. Now, you're saying that he was very affectionate whenever you were dating, but that's changed after the marriage?
Hands everywhere we go, hug constantly. It's just in regard to intimacy.
Well, yeah, and so what often will happen is, you know, we didn't see our parents date, and we didn't see our parents work, so we write our own scripts for that, right? We can kind of invent our identity when it comes to our work identity or our dating identity, but when we get married, we have a tendency to unconsciously fall into the patterns that we were raised with. And I'm you know, they might have been faithful, they might have been prayerful, but I wonder how affectionate they were, and I wonder how they dealt with, you know, being affectionate to their kids or what. I don't know, but what you're describing here is a wound. It's not just that he's refusing to be affectionate with you; it's that he's terrified at the idea for some reason, and that might be hard for you to understand, based on, you know, the fact that his behavior before the marriage. But again, these scripts can be very ingrained. And if I'm not a terrifically insightful person, then I just fall into them and just go along with them without questioning them. And then whenever somebody challenges me to question them, I start feeling disloyal, and I start feeling afraid, and I start feeling like I don't know what to do otherwise. And that's what he's even saying to you. I don't know what she means. I don't know what she means. You know, you're literally telling him what he means.
He's flooding with the trauma of it all, and he can't absorb it.
And honestly, the fact that he was refusing to go to counseling also points to the trauma too, because you know what he's saying is, there's a wound here that I don't want to deal with, right?
Don't make me look at it. Don't let anybody touch it. It's going to hurt too much.
Yeah, the excuse that, you know, counseling was difficult for, I mean, you know, counseling is difficult, but you know, his reaction to this, it says panic to me. It says trauma to me. There's something deeper there that needs to be addressed professionally. And I realize that he's reluctant to go to counseling, but I think that's going to be the hill you have to die on in this relationship if you're going to get your needs met. Because you've communicated your needs to him in writing, you've communicated your needs to him directly, you know, in words, you've tried to get some support from your pastor. None of those things are working. There's a panic reaction that's causing him to flood, reject anything you're trying to do, not be able to think through it, and he just avoids. And so the only way to get through that is by working with somebody who can really help him through that fear that he's feeling.
And I strongly, strongly recommend you finding a faithful Catholic counselor. We'll give you some resources on that in a moment. And this is why. Because if you go to a secular counselor,
for this
it's very, exactly, for this particular thing. First of all, they might not understand the wholeness of the woundedness here. Secondly, they can get caught up in, well, that's his preference and that's your preference and it doesn't matter. Where a well-integrated Catholic counselor goes to who we were created to be by God and how we can be our most whole, healed, and holy selves by healing our wounds. So it's not about, well, that's just their comfort zone. That's just their preference. It's truly about bringing us back to who God created us to be. And it sounds to me, as you were saying, that listening to our show today was providential because you were just crying out at Mass to God about this situation, that God really does want to bring wholeness to both of you and healing to both of you. And getting good counsel from a fully integrated Catholic pastoral counselor, that's somebody who can help you discover how to overcome the woundedness in him and in you as well, because you're saying, you know, you have a bit of a history there yourself, and be able to do the work. And if he's pushing back, I encourage you to go by yourself at first, because, and to continue, as Greg said, to die on the hill for this. If your husband, you know, went out in the garden, was doing work, and sliced his leg open with a spade by accident, and he was like, don't touch it, it hurts, it's bleeding, and you could see it needed to be cleaned out and it needed stitches, you wouldn't say, well, he just doesn't want to go to the hospital, I'm just going to let him bleed out.
I'll just talk to the pastor about it.
Yeah, exactly. You'd say, no, this has to be attended to, darling. I know that you're hurting. I know this is a shock. I know that you're panicking, but we're getting in the car or I'm calling an ambulance because I don't want you to get an infection or bleed to death. And spiritually and psychologically, that is a good analogy for what you need to do here for your husband. Don't let him be panicking and hurting and pushing you away and not getting the healing that what God wants to obviously give him and your marriage, because, as you said, you knew the Holy Spirit was there having you listen today after Mass.
All right. I'm sorry that there's so much work ahead of you with this, but the good news is it can be healed.
It's good work.
You just need to get the right kind of support. And I know he's resistant to that, but this really, as I said, is the hill to die on, because it's a panic reaction at the very least, very possibly a trauma reaction. Either way, he's flooding and not able to really respond in a healthy, grown-up way to these requests. And the only way to get through that is by learning those skills that he can get from a well-formed counselor. All right. 877-573-7825. Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa just reminded me that we forgot to give you a resource for that. You can learn more at our practice, CatholicCounselors.com. The Catholic Psychotherapy Association also offers referrals to local folks as well. But CatholicCounselors.com is our practice if you'd like to work with one of our Catholic counselors. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about getting your needs met and how we can have a healthy relationship with needs as Christians. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. As we head to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 37, verse 4.
It's my absolute favorite scripture verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, often people hear this and they think, that means I have to be joyful before God and hide all of my needs. No, delighting yourself in the Lord means being in intimate relationship with him, being willing to walk with him every day, letting him into your life, talking to him all day, and worshiping him for who he is, not just in the minutia of your day, but for who he is as Creator God and Redeemer God. When you have that kind of intimate personal relationship with him, then he will give you the desires of your heart, because they're the desires he placed in your heart, and he is constantly working for your ultimate good. So a very important scripture to keep close to our hearts today. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I will have to say, I think that's exactly what he was doing for our last listener. She was so close to him at Mass today. She was calling out with the desire of her heart. She gets in the car, turns on the radio, and sees that there is a way to fix this situation.
Well, let us help you. 877-573-7825. If you're struggling to either identify your needs, communicate those needs, or deal with the resistance you get when you try to tell the people that you care about what your needs are, we want to help you manage all of those challenges and more today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
You know, we talk story with each of our very unique guests for the whole hour so that you can go deep with us as you yourself pursue your own story of heroic virtue and as you pursue intimacy with God.
The Bear Wozniak Adventure, Saturday night, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
London.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about getting your needs met on our show titled, Really, I'm Fine. If you're having a hard time acknowledging your needs, communicating your needs, or dealing with the resistance you get when you finally do tell people what your needs are, let's talk about how to break through those barriers to getting your needs met. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cindy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say how much I love both of you.
Oh, God bless.
I'm calling not about my needs, but about the needs of a friend. She's an extremely needy person. And she doesn't have anyone in her life, no husband or children. She has two best friends, me and somebody else. She calls me constantly, first thing in the morning, all day. I can't get, and when I do speak to her on the phone, I try to hang up with her, and she won't let me hang up. She's very sad and miserable, and I feel terribly guilty that as a Christian, as a Catholic, I want to help her more and support her, but sometimes I just can't pick up the phone, and I don't pick up the phone. And it's the guilt that I feel is terrible that I can't help her.
Well, you know, I wonder if that guilt isn't misplaced, you know, because you can't be all things to her, and she's trying to make you all things to her. The reality is, you know, the world is filled with needs and people who have needs, and we personally can't meet them all. And that's not something to feel guilty about. Our job is to attend primarily to the needs of the people who are closest to us. There's a principle in Catholic social teaching called subsidiarity, which is just a big word that means, you know, the people who are closest to the problem have the greatest responsibility for that problem, right? So your primary responsibilities are your spouse or your children, if you have them, your the work that God has given you to do, and taking care of the responsibilities that God has placed in your sphere, right? And your job is to attend to those things well, do what you can, but like to really do thrive attending to those things. And then if you have time left over, you can share that time and treasure with others as well. And then, you know, so you're moving out from the circle, you know, and your friend would be in that outer circle, who, and she can get what you have to give once you have attended fully to those primary responsibilities of spouse, children, home, work. But she's demanding more than that, and she doesn't have a right to ask you for that, and you have no responsibility to feel guilty for not being able to attend to those things.
So that lifts your guilt a bit, Cindy. But let's talk about the fact that you're actually doing her a disservice for being there all the time. You know, you just listed a long list of things she doesn't have in her life. And what she's doing is she's calling you. She's throwing all of that sadness, depression, whatever we label it as, on you. And then I guarantee you, you get off the phone and you start carrying the emotional weight of that, and she's fine. She's walking around for an hour or 2 hours or a day, and she feels lighter because she dumped all of her garbage on you. And so being able to say to her, oh, honey, you know how much I love you, but, you know, this goes beyond what our friendship can handle. Here, I got you the name of several counselors. Really, you need to be seeing somebody. And then when she calls you again, you say, hey, did you make an appointment with that counselor? And when she goes, no, I haven't done that yet, you say, well, I really encourage you to do that. I'm looking forward to getting together with you for coffee next week, but I really have to run because I've got a lot on my plate today. Love you. Bye. And you let her begin to meet her needs in other ways, getting professional healing, finding different groups she can belong to. You know, being single doesn't mean being completely isolated and alone if you begin to take some initiative. And I have friends in their 80s who have had to really do that and do it with great aplomb. They take on a life and they do it even though maybe they went through tremendous grief. You're actually doing her a disservice in her own healing and her ability to lean on God. She's making you God, her best friend, her spouse, her everything. And that's not actually serving God or her.
Yeah, so I second everything that Lisa was just saying in terms of pointing her to resources and being very clear that, look, this isn't something that I can help you with. This is something that the counselor needs to help you with or this group needs to help you with. Please go contact them. Number two, I want you to pick certain times where you could talk to her and let her know, hey, look, I'm available to talk with you on Tuesdays at, you know, whatever, I'm making up a time, but you get my point. Like, you really look at your schedule and be reasonable about what could I actually give her and still fulfill my primary obligations to my spouse, to my children, to my life. And you tell her, this is when I can talk. If she calls you any other time, don't pick up. Right. You know, and if she calls you and if you do talk to her during that time and she tries to keep you on longer than you can start by saying, hey, listen, I've only got about 15 minutes. I want to give you that time,
but
I've only got about 15 or 5 minutes or whatever, 30 minutes, whatever it is. Be clear up front what time you have to give her. If she try and then about, you know, 10 minutes before that time, give her a warning. Hey, I'm going to have to wrap up in 10 minutes. And if she tries to push you beyond that, you can hang up. It's okay to say, honey, I'm sorry, I love you, but I've really got to go. I'll talk to you later. Click. And that feels rude, but it's not, because she's actually putting you in that position to have to set that limit with her. And again, you're not doing her any service by just being the one that she's kind of catharting all over, you know, where she gets it all out of herself and feels better, but she doesn't do anything about the problems. You're actually enabling her by being there as much as you feel that you should be. So, yes, you can be there for her. Yes, you can be generous to her, but you need to set a whole lot more boundaries on this relationship than you have in the past.
And because it's working not only for your good, but for her good, you do not have to feel guilty at all about this, Cindy.
No, in fact, it should be the other way around, really. I mean, you should feel good about setting these boundaries and feel guilty about not. Because not setting these boundaries is actually not working for her good.
Right, so you're not setting boundaries in a nasty way. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm cutting off the relationship. You're setting them in the way that we have, you know, outlined here so that you are in the relationship, but you're serving your primary needs first that God has given you to do, because that is what he's given you to do. And being distracted from that isn't holy or healthy for you. And you're meeting her needs by saying, here are several names of different counselors that you can contact. Here are some groups that I just thought you would just love being, you know, involved in. whatever those things are. And then when she starts to complain again, you say, hey, have you done that? And you push her back in that direction.
And then set those time boundaries as well. Thank you so much for the call. I'm glad you're such a good friend, you need to be a better friend by setting those kinds of limits. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in today and sharing with us your struggle with identifying your needs, getting your needs met, dealing with the resistance that you face whenever you do communicate your needs. If you are looking for more resources to have a healthier relationship with your needs or be more effective at communicating or meeting them, check out the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice and work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life through God's grace. We also continuing this conversation on the Catholic Home app. If you're a mom or a dad who's struggling to get your needs met in your family life, come on, join us over there. We'll keep talking about this topic. Catholic HOM stands for Households on Mission. Download the app and become a premium subscriber to participate in those conversations that we're having all day with parents all over the world about living a more faithful, joyful, abundant Catholic family life. God bless. Get out there and celebrate the life God has in store for you, because there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.